Yes, yes, after years of prolonged effort, finally, it is here, it's alive, my profane creation that I did not technically create is upon this world, the lost episode, that which time forgot, the cursed episode, destroyer of hard drives, ender of premieres. Now it is time.
Some content warnings. This is in-house regarded as the toughest episode of the show to get through, so please be warned. Content warnings for this fiasco include implied child death, implied death of a main character, parental neglect, absentee parents, parental mistreatment slash abuse, apocalypse, and loss of innocence. With that being said, I'm truly sorry that this episode took so long to get out into the world. The long winter has been tough on us all, but passions are rising once more as hibernation ends, and we're excited to get the second half of the show out and with you as soon as possible. For more information and to keep in the loop, check out our socials at onasphaltbones on Instagram and Twitter, listless.ga, our website, as well as the newly formed at Listless Network for general Listless news. Now, on with the show. The Listless Network presents On Asphalt Bones, Episode 4, Apple of My Eye.
Mummy said we weren't allowed to go outside. She said it was for my own good. She said it was too dangerous out there. I asked about school, because if I can't go outside, how am I meant to go to school? But all she said was,
that won't be an issue anymore.
But why, Mummy? I said. And she smiled and ruffled my hair and walked away. But I wanted to go to school. I wanted to be up early and sit on the step until my friends got there. And I wanted to play hangman in form time. And I even wanted to sit through Mr. Smith's awful spelling lessons. And I wanted to play in the playground all lunchtime. And I wanted Mummy to pick me up at the end of the day like she always used to. And take my bag and my hand and swing it all the way home. But Mummy didn't seem to want that for me. So I stopped asking. Mummy seemed very sure that school wasn't important anymore. But she still seemed to think that other stuff was, like getting dressed in proper grown-up clothes instead of pajamas and washing my hair. I asked her why I still needed to wash my hair if I wasn't even leaving the house, but she just sighed and told me to get in the shower. So I did. And I washed my hair even though I didn't understand why. Even though I hated when the water got into my eyes and glued hair to my skin. I never liked the hairdryer either. It was too loud and too hot and just bad. But Mummy insisted on using it when she dried my hair. Said a towel wouldn't do the trick properly. I think she's just mean. I kept my eyes scrunched closed as she dried my hair. I always did. I didn't like how the hairdryer blew hair into my eyes, so I kept my eyes closed. And I covered my face with my hands. I thought that maybe if I didn't look, it might be over more quickly. I was never right, but it was okay to hope. But this time was different. This time, something made me want to look. I couldn't see. My face was covered. But even through the too loud noise of the hairdryer, I could hear the flap of fabric in the wind. No, not the wind. Mummy always kept the windows closed. There was no way any wind could get in. No. No. It was the hairdryer. The hairdryer was blowing the curtains open. I opened my eyes and lowered my hands away from my face, peering over my shoulder at the window. And I thought I saw. Well, I'm not sure. I thought I saw a face. It was looking right back at me. And I didn't see very clearly, but it looked like it was smiling. Maybe. I couldn't see a mouth. Only eyes. An eye. Something that looked like an eye. You know how people can smile with their eyes? It was like that. But it wasn't nice. It wasn't like how Daddy used to smile with his eyes. How he could look at me and make me feel warm and nice and loved. It wasn't like that. When I saw the smile in this eye, I felt all kinds of wrong, all kinds of bad. And I wanted to look away so I wouldn't feel bad anymore, so that I could pretend though I'd never seen it, and I could pretend that everything was okay, that Mummy was being silly when she said I couldn't go outside, that it was all a big joke. But I also wanted to keep looking, at least long enough to work out what I was looking at. But before I could properly work out what was going on, what was happening, Mummy noticed what I was doing. The hairdryer dropped to the floor and she rushed to the window, covering it with her whole body.
What have I told you?
She asked me. She looked angry, and I was scared.
What have I told you?
I swallowed my tears, and I finally met her eyes. Don't look outside, I said. Don't go outside. Don't look outside. Don't even glance towards the windows. And then she smiled at me, and all the anger in her face was gone, as if it had never been there in the first place. I woke up the next day to find all the curtains in the house replaced by blackout blinds. Mummy said she found them in the attic. She went all the way up into the attic just to stop me from looking out of the window. What's out there that's so bad that she goes all the way into the attic and replaces all the curtains in the house just to make sure I don't see it? I tried to look outside again. I tried to open one of the blinds. I just wanted a tiny glimpse of what it looks like out there. Just wanted to see grass or clouds or something. Anything. It's been so long since I've been outside. I just wanted to see something that wasn't the inside of this house. But I was too loud, and Mummy found me, and she shouted at me again. Later that day, I found her cutting up pieces of the carpet. I asked what she was doing, and she told me she was going to cover up the windows. Properly this time. And she did. The next morning, I woke up and she'd glued bits of the carpet to the windows. There was no way of seeing out. All I can see are these walls. And at this point, I think they might be all I'll ever see for the rest of my life. I started helping Mummy around the house, with the washing up and the tidying and sometimes cooking, when she thinks I'm going to not burn myself. I thought, maybe if I kept myself busy, I could take my mind off whatever's going on outside. But it's not really working. I don't think it's working for Mummy either. I found her crying in her room the other day. She was holding onto one of Daddy's old jumpers, and she looked like she'd been crying for a while. I stood in the doorway for a while, just staring at her. I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't know if she wanted me there or not. When she finally saw me, she looked even sadder than before.
Oh, darling,
she said.
What are you doing here?
Go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep.
I told her I couldn't sleep, that I heard noises coming from outside, and I wanted her to make everything all right again so I could go and play in the park like I used to. She sighed and patted the bed, and I climbed up onto the mattress and sat down next to her.
I'm sorry that you had to see that,
she said, wiping the tears away from her eyes. I told her it was okay, and then I hugged her to show her that I meant it. We stayed like that for a few minutes, neither of us saying anything. Silence, except for the sounds of both of us trying not to cry. I glanced over at the jumper in her hand and I looked up at her. Daddy isn't coming back, is he? I said. It was more of a statement than a question. I already knew the answer. Mummy sighed and kissed the top of my head.
No.
She said.
I don't think he is.
I think we both knew she was right a long time ago. Daddy's really nice. Was really nice. He was. Was. Whatever he is, he was nice, and kind, and warm. He used to give me hugs whenever I was sad, and sometimes when he was home, he'd come to pick me up from school, which was always a surprise because it was usually Mummy who picked me up. But then I'd see him, grinning and waving at me from the school gates, and I'd smile. And I'd run up to him and I'd jump into his arms, and he'd tell me that I was getting too big, that I'd have to stop doing that soon, that he wasn't strong enough to hold me anymore. But I knew he was just joking around. Daddy was really strong, really strong. He had to be for his job. He had to be brave too. He was a soldier. I wanted to be one too. I wanted to be just like him when I grew up. A big, strong, brave soldier, just like Daddy. I wanted to protect people, like Daddy always protected me. But I don't know if I want that anymore. I think Daddy hurts people. And I don't want to hurt people. And I don't know if I can be like Daddy if I can't hurt people. Maybe someone hurt Daddy. And that's why he hasn't come back. I hope he does come back. I don't want to be alone anymore. Mummy left the house 3 days ago, and she hasn't come back. Maybe she never will. Maybe I'll be stuck here alone forever. eternally staring at these same old walls, never knowing what it is that she didn't want me to see. No, that won't do. I want to know if Daddy's dead, and if Mummy's dead, and if I'm going to die. I want it to be from whatever's out there, instead of running out of food, still stuck in here. I'm going to go outside. I want to know. I need to know.
Asphalt Bones is a strictly fictional podcast distributed free of charge by the Listless Network under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 4.0 international license. This episode was written by Alex Abrahams, with script editing by Gray Kilgour and Sammy Christensen, audio engineering by Scarlett Foster, and was directed by Alex Abrahams, with executive producers Alana Rogers and Scarlett Foster. This episode featured performances by
Gray Kilgour as the child. Gray is legally an adult, I just thought you should know. Mackenzie Dillon as the mother. Devin McLaughlin as the father. Chloe Peterson as the screams. We will never forget your sacrifice.
And me, Will, doing the outro. Also, we would like to wish a very happy birthday to Devin McLaughlin, who you just heard as the father, who's turning 30 years of age tomorrow. Happy birthday! For more information, as well as show transcripts and additional content, please check our show notes, follow us on social media at onasphaltbones, and check out our website at www.listless.ga.
Thank you for listening. I wrote this story with my red crayon, and then I drew the pictures with my green crayon.